Krishna was living in Dwarka with all of his queens and all of his family members. And in the course of that stay there, he hadn't seen the inhabitants of Vrindavan for such a long time. And we understand by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam that Vrindavan is the dearmost place. It's the place where Krishna's, his dearmost devotees reside. So Krishna's love for his devotees there and the love for the devotees in Vrindavan is unmatched anywhere, any place in creation. It's the topmost realm. So it's described that the Lord was hankering to see his associates. So it just so happened that at a particular time there was a full solar eclipse. And at the time of this eclipse, generally people, they go to different holy places in order to purify themselves in the course of this astrological phenomenon. So they did like that. They described that many inhabitants from all over, they went to the sacred place of Kurukshetra. We know Kurukshetra is where Krishna, you know, where the battlefield of Kurukshetra is. But it's been a sacred place since time immemorial. So anyway, so many people, they went to this Kurukshetra, and in the course of that, specifically Krishna arrived there with Balaram and Subhadra and all of his other associates. And it's described, I'll read this real quick to you. Once upon a time when Lord Krishna and Balaram were living peacefully in their great city of Dwarka, there was the rare occasion of a full solar eclipse, such as takes place at the end of every kalpa, a day of Brahma. At the end of every kalpa, the sun is covered by a great cloud, and incessant rain covers the lower planetary systems up to Svargaloka. By astronomical calculation, people were informed about this great eclipse prior to its taking place, and therefore everyone, both men and women, decided to assemble at the holy place of Kurukshetra, known as Samanta Panchaka. So then it goes on to describe how the Lord and all of his different family members, his sons and his queens, they all went. We can't imagine how many people, but many, many people were there. And Vasudeva was there. Krishna's father was there. And then it talks about the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and especially the gopis. This is important because to understand this meeting of Krishna and the gopis is a very important occasion. Because it's described that the highest feelings of love that one can manifest towards the Supreme Person or feel towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead is when one is serving him or loving him in separation. It's described that when there is a separation between the Lord and his devotee, especially in the Madhurya Rasa of the gopis, it's the most intense feelings of ecstasy possible. And we understand that Lord Chaitanya, who's Krishna himself, that one of the internal reasons for him appearing here in this material world was so that he could come and taste what it was that Srimati Radharani especially, who's the chief of all the damsels of Braja, what it was that she was feeling, how the feeling of love that she was feeling for him. He wanted to experience that directly. So it's on that, for that reason that he appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. Of course, we know when the Lord does something, he does many things with one stroke. So he was coming not only to internally to experience the ecstasy that Srimati Radharani was feeling. He wanted to feel that. He wanted to know what it was. But of course, he was also coming to establish the Yuga Dharma by chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And also, he was coming to give away that feeling of love that Radharani was feeling and the gopis were feeling. Lord Chaitanya was coming to give that away. Not only was he coming to experience it personally, but he was also coming in to give it away freely to the inhabitants of the inhabitants of the Kali Yuga. So that's what it is. That's why it's important to understand this, how it was that the gopis were feeling and how it was that they saw, when they saw Krishna along with Balaram and Subhadra, this feeling of love, this feeling of ecstasy that overcame them. So that's what we have here. As far as the gopis of Vrindavan were concerned, from the very beginning of their lives, they did not know anything but Krishna. Krishna and Balaram were their life and soul. The gopis were so attached to Krishna that they could not tolerate not even seeing him momentarily when their eyelids blinked and impeded their vision. So just see how great the gopis' love is for Krishna. If they would even blink their eyes and that for that half of a split second, where their eyes would blink and they wouldn't feel see Krishna, then they would become very, very upset. You can imagine how great their love is. Actually, it's described that they actually cursed Brahma for giving him these eyelids so that their entire vision, their vision of Krishna wouldn't be impeded even for that second. So we can, and Radharani especially, Radharani's love for Krishna is supermost, topmost. And again, like I say, that's why it was that Lord Chaitanya appeared. So this is very important to the story of Lord Jagannath, because this form of Lord Jagannath is actually a manifestation of Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. And it's in that feeling of love that Krishna feels for Radharani, that Radharani feels for Krishna, that Lord Jagannath is appearing. That's who Lord Jagannath is. And then Lord Chaitanya, he's the one who inaugurated that. Not inaugurated, but he's the one who brought that to the light of the world. The intense love that existed between Krishna and Radharani, that's a very important part of the story of Lord Chaitanya. So this is an introduction here by the Pujari in Mayapur. What's his name? One of the twins? Pankajanya. He's the one who wrote this. This is a nice story about leading us to understand exactly the history of Lord Jagannath and how he first appeared. Lord Jagannath appeared a long time ago. How long did he appear? Does anyone know? How long? He appeared, it's described that Lord Brahma, we know that Lord Brahma lives 311 trillion years. That's Lord Brahma's life. He's already past 50 of it. And we're in the beginning of the first part of his second 50 years. So about 1,530,000,000 years ago, which is about half of the first day of Brahma's second 50 years, in the Satya Yuga, that was when Lord Jagannath appeared. So that is a long time ago. That's a 1,500,000,000 years ago. That's when he appeared. And the story of exactly how it was that he appeared is what we're going to hear here from the Pujari in Mayapur.
So this is the introduction of this book. It says, almost everyone in India knows Lord Jagannath. His annual cart festival, Rath Yatra in Puri, draws millions of people, making it one of the biggest festivals in the world. However, surprisingly, few know why the Lord appears in such an extraordinary form. So this is Lord Jagannath's manifestation in Puri and the reasons behind his most unusual form. Many thousands of years ago, King Indradumna, a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, yearned to see the Lord face to face. He received the news of a deity incarnation of Lord Vishnu named Nilamadava, who told his pujari that he would like to be worshipped in a royal style by King Indradumna. When the king arrived, however, the deity was gone. A voice from the sky announced to the king that he should construct a temple on top of the Nila Hill, and the Lord would manifest himself there in a wooden form. Following the order, King Indradumna had the temple built and established a town around it called Ramakrishnapur. His desire was that Lord Brahma consecrate the temple, so he traveled to Brahmaloka to meet with Lord Brahma. But as the time span is different on Brahmaloka, many centuries had passed by the time King Indradumna arrived back to earth, and the temple had been buried by a sandstorm. Two kings had reigned over the land since Indradumna left. And during the reign of the second king, Galamadva, the temple was uncovered. When King Indradumna reappeared, claiming he had constructed it, no one believed him. However, in a banyan tree near the temple was a crow, Bhushandi, who had lived there through many ages and had observed the construction of the temple. Bhushandi confirmed the king's history. Indradumna then prayed to Lord Brahma to consecrate the temple and surrounding area known as Sri Chaitra. But Lord Brahma said, "This place is manifested from the Supreme Lord's internal potency. The Lord eternally resides here, and he manifests himself when he desires. It is not within the power to install the Lord here."
Right, he didn't have the power. The Lord was already existing there independently. So Lord Brahma was saying, "I don't have the power to do that." The Lord appeared. This is his spot. We have to understand that before, in the first 50 years of Brahma's life, before Jagannath Puri manifested, the Lord was worshipped there in his Nilamadava form, the forearm form of the Lord, along with his eternal consort Lakshmi Devi. So that worship had been going on for the first 50 years of Lord Brahma's life, which is half of 311 trillion. Very long time. And this spot was specifically when the universe was first created, Lakshmi Devi spoke to Brahma and told him that this place was very, very, very special. So this place of Jagannath Puri has been special, has been the abode of the Lord, the direct abode of the Lord for trillions and trillions of years. It's only been Jagannath Puri for only 1,500,000,000 years. But even before that, it was still the most sacred of sacred places because the Lord was residing there as Nilamadava. Go ahead.
Upon hearing this, Indradumna became restless. He waited and waited and waited until his impatience turned into despondency. Thinking his life was useless, he decided to give it up by fasting. Then Lord Jagannath appeared to him in a dream and said, "My dear king, give up your anxiety. Tomorrow I shall come floating in the sea in my wooden form as Dhru Brahman at the place called Banki Muhan." The next day, amidst a joyous kirtan, Dhru Brahman was washed up on the beach and brought to King Indradumna in a golden chariot. He called many expert sculptors, but none of them was able to touch Dhru Brahman. As soon as their chisel touched the log of wood, it broke into many pieces. Then one day, an artist who introduced himself as Ananta Maharana offered to carve the deity. According to some, this Ananta was the Lord himself, while others say that he was Vishvakarma, the architect of the devas, who had come to render service to the Lord. He promised that the deities would be ready in 21 days, provided he could work alone behind locked doors. Daily, the king would pace back and forth in front of the temple doors in great anticipation. But on the 14th day, his hope turned into anxiety, for no longer could he hear the tapping of the artist's tools. Although his ministers again and again forbade him, he forced open the locked doors. The sculptor was nowhere to be seen, and Dhru Brahman was now manifest in three forms, Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev. Moving closer, the king noticed that the hands and legs of the deities were unfinished. "Oh no," he exclaimed, "what have I done? Why was I so impatient? Now the deities are unfinished and the sculptor has disappeared. I am a great offender." Thinking like this, once again he decided to give up his life by fasting. When half the night had passed, Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and spoke as follows. "In this material world, I descend in 24 incarnations along with my abode. I have no material hands or feet, but with my transcendental senses, I accept all the items offered in service by my devotees. And for the benefit of the world, I move from one place to another. You have broken your promise, but that is just a part of the sweetness of my pastime to manifest this Jagannath form, which protects the words of the Vedas, which declare, 'Without legs he moves, and without hands he accepts.' Yet those devotees whose eyes are anointed with love will always see me as Shyamasundar holding a flute. But if your desire is to serve me in opulence, then from time to time I may be decorated with hands and feet made of gold and silver. You should know for certain, however, that my limbs are the ornaments of all ornaments."
This is a little bit of prelude again to the Lord's manifesting himself. When this sacred spot where Nilamadava was being worshipped for billions, trillions of years, he was being worshipped by a bunch of aborigines, a tribe of aborigine people. And these aborigine people, they kept him, not in secret, but the Lord was living in the forest. This deity form of Nilamadava was living in the forest. And the demigods used to come there on a regular basis, always. They were coming and making offerings to the Lord. It's described that this place where the Lord that became Jagannath Puri was so sacred that all of the demigods in the universe would come there regularly just to offer service to the Lord. So there was a sage named Vidyapati, and Vidyapati was one of the King Indradyumna's, he was one of the local Brahmins. He was the friend, I believe, of his brother, is the way it's described. And he wanted to help King Indradyumna to find a place, because King Indradyumna, he wanted to serve the Lord face to face. King Indradyumna wasn't just an ordinary king. He's described that he was the emperor of the world. So he wanted to find a place where he could go and serve the Lord directly face to face. So Vidyapati went out ahead to try to find this place that they had heard about from this sage who was visiting the king's court one day. And the king heard that from this Brahmin that he had visited all of the different holy places, but there was no place more holy than this particular place, Nilachala, So Vidyapati went out on a scouting mission to try to find this place, and he did find it. But what he found was something very unusual. Like I said, there were Aborigine people that were actually worshiping the Lord in a grove. And Vidyapati went to the head of the Aborigines, and he said, "How is it that you have all of this opulence?" Because Vidyapati noticed that they had this great, great prasadam and extraordinary opulence. And that was where it was that he heard from the king of the Aborigines, that Vivasu. The demigods, Vivasu, that's his name. He related the story that all of the demigods from the universe, they come to worship this Nilamadava. So Vidyapati goes, "I found it. This is great." He goes back and tells Indradyumna Maharaj. Indradyumna Maharaj tells everybody in his kingdom, and he's the emperor of the world. He says, "We're all leaving. We're all leaving where we're staying now, Avanti." Avanti was the capital where he was staying. "And we're going to move to where Nilamadava is. We're going to move there. All of us are going to go." So they travel. They get the whole kingdom together, and they go traveling. And in the course of their traveling there was a great storm. And this great storm came and wiped out Nilamadava. Externally, of course, the Lord is eternal. He can't be wiped out. But in terms of our being able to perceive the Lord, this Nilamadava deity was completely wiped out. So as the deity being wiped out, the king was like, What has happened? And it just so happened that in the course of his traveling, Narada Muni had joined them. Narada Muni was with them. And so Narada Muni was lamenting. The king was lamenting that what are we going to do? What is it that we're going to do? And he had a dream. King Indradyumna had a dream that Lord Jagannath appeared to him and said that I'm going to appear in the ocean. And when I appear in the ocean, then you take this, and then a deity, I'll manifest myself from this tree. It was a tree floating in the ocean. And so that's what we're reading here. Go ahead.
And in the meantime, he was to engage in this jagya, 1,000-horse sacrifice, and he was worshiping the deity of Lord Nisringadev as well during that period of time.
He was instructed to do that in order to consecrate the place. In order to make it suitable for the Lord's appearance, he was requested to perform 100 horse sacrifices and at the same time very extensive worship of Lord Nisringadev before Lord Jagannath would appear. So that's just some preliminary.
Hearing the words of Lord Jagannath in his dream, King Indradyumna became fully satisfied and prayed to him thus, "Let the doors of your temple be closed for only 3 hours daily, so that all the residents of the universe may have your darshan. Further, let it be that all day long your eating may go on and your lotus fingers may thus never become dry." Lord Jagannath replied, "Tathahastu, so be it." So there's another deep explanation given by Lord Chaitanya. It's a more esoteric reason behind the unusual form of Lord Jagannath. It was recorded in the book Mahabhava Prakash by Sikhi Mahiti. In Gambira, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence in Puri, Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy asked Mahaprabhu about the extraordinary feature of the deities of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, and he explained to them as follows. "Once, when Rohini Devi, the mother of Lord Balaram, was visiting Dwarka, Lord Krishna's queen surrounded her and asked her to speak about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan before he was married. They said, 'Sometimes we hear him talking in his sleep. With a sweet voice, he calls out the names of his friends like Sridhama and Subal and the names of his cows. Sometimes he calls, O Lolita, Vishaka, O Sri Radhe. And other times he says, Mother, please feed me some fresh butter. Sometimes he cries, then wakes up and sobs for hours. How special are those residents of Raj? Please tell us about them.' So Rohini agreed, but said that Krishna must not hear her words. Otherwise, he would be overcome with emotion and may rush away to Vrindavan. So it was arranged that Krishna's sister Subhadra Devi would stand guard outside the room. With one ear pressed to the closed door, Subhadra became so absorbed in Krishna's astounding dealings with the Rajavasis, which are filled with emotional love, that she didn't notice Krishna and Balaram approaching. Indeed, in her ecstatic trance, she was even unaware of her own bodily transformation. Her eyes became wide and her limbs shrunk into her torso due to intense spiritual emotion. Being expert in physiognomy, when Krishna and Balaram saw the condition of Subhadra Devi, they immediately knew something extraordinary must be going on inside the room. So they also began to listen.
So you see, Rohini is speaking to the queens of Dwarka and telling them all about these wonderful pastimes of Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And the feeling that she got was so intense that her
arms went into her torso.
So that's why you see the deity of Lord Jagannath. And when Krishna and Balaram came and they saw her,
it says, in a very short while, due to the feelings of the highest spiritual emotions, Mahabhava, Krishna and Balaram experienced similar transformations. At that time, Narada Muni appeared. Amazed at this sight, he began to dance and chant in great jubilation. When Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra regained their external senses, Narada Muni exclaimed in great wonder, "O Lord, I have seen many of your transcendental forms, but never have I beheld such a wonderful form of Mahabhav. Please, O Lord, kindly manifest this form in such a way that everyone may have the extraordinary darshan. Thus, by the mercy of the Lord's great devotee, we are now able to behold and serve the Lord in these wonderful deity forms of Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra."
Nice, huh? So, this is a little bit more of the history, the authoritative history of Lord Jagannath's appearance. Who is Jagannath? There is no difference between Mahaprabhu, Krishna, and Jagannath. The people in general don't understand. They have many speculations or concoctions. They are proud of their material learning, merit, intelligence, and knowledge. But one cannot understand the Supreme Lord without the mercy of the Lord. That is the only thing that is required. And they are not hearing from a sadhu, Guru Vaishnava, without which no one can understand. Only a dear devotee of Jagannath, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, will understand Mahaprabhu. He came as an acharya, sadhu guru, and he has described the tattva behind Rath Yatra. It isn't easy to understand. Srimad Bhagavatam says, one who can understand only a Vaishnava who is non-envious. Although others may hear, they still cannot understand. It won't enter into their ears. I will describe the history and tattva of Rath Yatra according to how Mahaprabhu has revealed it. Skanda Purana is the biggest Purana of the 18 Puranas. There is one Kanda named Uttala Kanda. In Utkal Panda, we find everything regarding Lord Jagannath and Purushottama Chaitra, which is also known as Jagannath Chaitra. Vyasadeva has written it. In Skanda Purana, Lord Jagannath tells Maharaj Indradyumna, "O King, I appeared on the full moon day of the month of Jaishta. This is the day on which we observe Snana Purna, Purnima, Lord Jagannath's public bath." That was in the Svayambhuva Manvantar. So we understand that Svayambhuva Manu is the very first Manu that appears, right? Of the day of Brahma, Svayambhuva Manu is the very first. So, and here we are now we're in the seventh Vaibhasvata Manu, right? We're in the seventh, so there's been seven Manus, so that's about half a day of Brahma. And a full day of Brahma is 1,000 cycles of the four yugas together. The four yugas together are 4,320,000 times 1,000 equals 4,320,000,000 years. So we're about halfway into the day of Lord Brahma after his 50th year. Half of the day. The night hasn't come yet. We're in half of the day of Lord Brahma, about half the day of Lord Brahma. And so Svayambhuva Manu, being the first of the Manus in this particular day of Lord Brahma, that was when it was. And that's about 1,530,000,000 years ago. I appeared being pleased with the performance of Jagya and Bhakti. This is the birthday of Jagannath Dev. So every year on this day, the public bathing ceremony should be performed. That was the order of Jagannath to Indra Dyumna Maharaj. Maharaj Indra Dyumna was a great devotee. He performed 1,000 horse sacrifices. Being pleased with his devotee and his Jagya performance, Lord Jagannath appeared in the second part of the Svayambhuva Manvantara, and Brahma installed the deity in the temple. If you calculate this period, you will find the dates on which the building of the Jagannath temple started, when the temple was inaugurated, and when the deities were installed. This is according to the authority of Skanda Purana. Rathyatra now, began in Svarochisha Manu. Svarochisha Manu is the second Manu after Svayambhuva Manu. And you know that, and that's what it was that we were reading. In order for Brahma to install Lord Jagannath, Indra Dyumna, along with Narada Muni, actually went to Brahmaloka. And when they were at Brahmaloka, it's described that he was at a concert. So they had to wait for the concert to end. And at that time, they asked Lord Brahma to please come and install the deity. But it's described that even though it was only a few seconds in Lord Brahma's time, it was millions of years in our time. So that's why it went from Svayambhuva Manu to the second Manu before this event is happening. This is according to the authority of the Skanda Purana. Rathayatra began in Svarochisha Manu's time. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. Their period of reign is called a Manvantara. Vaivasvata Manu is going on now. Svayambhuva Manu is the first Manu. Then Svarochisha, followed by Uttama, Tamasa, Raivata, Chakshus, and presently Vaivasvata Manu is going. Next will come Daksha Sarvani, Brahma Sarvani, Dharma Sarvani, Rudra Sarvani, Deva Sarvani, and then Indra Sarvani. 14 Manus in all. Svarochisha Manu is the second Manu, and according to Skanda Purana, the Rathyatra began during his reign, billions of years ago. That was Satya Yuga, and Rathyatra has been continuing up until now. The oldest festival in the world, definitely. It is mentioned that this will continue, that this festival of Rathyatra will continue until the end of the second Paradrida half of Brahma's life. Brahma's lifetime is 100 years, so Rathyatra will continue to go on for the second half of his entire life. So it's not going to go away. Rathyatra is going to continue. Actually, Lord Brahma describes to Narada and King Indra Dyumna that previously the Lord was worshipped as Nilamadava, but now in the second half he's going to be worshipped as Lord Jagannath. That's going to be the principal worship.
It also described that how Prahlad, how he did a Rathyatra with Vishnu, Rathyatra.
Yes.
So it's in the Satya Yuga.
Yes, since time immemorial, this Rathyatra has been going on, and it will continue to go on for so much longer. And so now we'll discuss about the. Does anybody have any questions or comments about this? Yes, Prabhu?
I think I heard or read somewhere that is what I want to know. Is that the original Jagannath? I thought I heard or read somewhere that he was carved every 12 years or something like that.
Well, that's the updated service or worship of Lord Jagannath.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the very original appearance of Lord Jagannath.
Okay.
How Vishvakarma came and he created the very first. And he's every 12 years, like you say. A new deity is created, appears.
I see. I thought so. Okay, thank you.
That's not offensive. You're never offensive. Okay.
In the beginning of the pastime, we were using the word consecrate. What is the... I understand consecrate is used in...
Consecrate means to make it suitable, to make it as pure and as perfect as possible. You know, there's already purity and perfection in that holy place. But to make it even more purifying. I mean, there's no end to how much we can purify ourselves or purify an atmosphere because the Lord can never, there's not enough that we can do for Krishna. So Indra Dyumna Maharaj wanted to make it as perfect as possible. So he wanted to do everything just exactly right. That's why he went and asked Lord Brahma, would you please come and personally install the deity, which he did.
this Rath Yatra will continue through Kali Yuga also? Like,
what's that, Prabhu?
To survive Kali Yuga?
What is that?
It'll go through Kali Yuga,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It goes on. It goes on from that time all the way to the end of Lord Brahma's life. Lord Jagannath and the Rath Yatra and the worship of Lord Jagannath is very, very central to the worship of the Lord in the Kali Yuga. It's described as being the primary worship in the Kali Yuga. And that's why Lord Chaitanya came, and that's what he was doing in Jagannath Puri. He was worshiping the Lord in his form of Jagannath, as Lord Jagannath and Subhadra. And, but it just so happened that it ties right in with the feelings of separation that Srimati Radharani was feeling for Krishna. And when she saw Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra, you know, she was overwhelmed. The gopis, she and all the gopis were overwhelmed in separation and love. It's actually described that after the end of this solar eclipse, Krishna asked the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, come back with us to Dwarka, but they wouldn't go. They didn't want to go because they didn't want to miss seeing Krishna as they had known him as a cowherd boy, you know, lifting Govardhan Hill, playing with the cows. So they didn't go back. But what that did was it simply increased their love second by second, more and more and more. In separation from Krishna, it's described that the love only increases more and more. So that feeling of transcendental ecstasy, the gopis didn't want to miss that. Actually, it's described that when on Rath Yatra day, what it really is going on, this is described that the Lord is, it's described that the Lord misses the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And in order to go and see the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he gets ill. And when he gets ill, he goes into seclusion for 2 weeks. This is before the Rath Yatra. And it's during that 2 week period that the Lord is repainted or the Lord is refurbished again from that entire year has gone by. But of course he's ill. He's got a fever. And the goddess of fortune, his eternal consort, the goddess of fortune is described. She's with him during that period of time. And then at the end of that 15 days, he makes a plea to her. Because she's so attached to her Lord and Master, that she doesn't want him to leave. But the Lord says, I would like to go out and give audience to my, subjects. So that's the day of Rath Yatra. That's the day that the Lord and his brother and sister mount their carts and they leave. And what they do is they go and they give audience, they give darshan to all of the inhabitants of, the area. This place is a very sacred area, very, very sacred area. And where is it that they go? They go to the Gundicha temple. And what is the Gundicha temple? Does anyone know what Gundicha means? Yes, Manaji. That's right. They say they're for 7 days.
Yeah, for 7 days. And while returning, they're full of gold and everything while returning to Yatra. So that's the importance of Gundicha temple.
That's right.
And they clean it with the water and everything before the Lord comes.
That's right. That's very nice. Yes, there's this wonderful pastime of Lord Chaitanya's making the Gundicha temple beautiful and clean for Lord Jagannath coming to appear there. Like Manaji was saying, it's described that the Gundicha temple is non-different than Vrindavan. So we see what's going on here. Krishna's actually leaving behind the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune isn't allowed in Vrindavan because the mood of the ecstasy, the relationship that the goddess of fortune has with Krishna is different than what the gopis and the inhabitants of Vrindavan have. Theirs is much more exalted. So he leaves her behind. And he kind of leaves on the pretense that he's going to give darshan, which he's doing. He does do that. But internally what he's thinking is, I'm going to go meet with my dear devotees from Vrindavan.
He says he's only going to be for a day.
Yeah, he says he's only going to be gone for a day, but he ends up staying 7 days.
And Lakshmi Devi, after 2 or 3 days, it was described, she got really upset that he was gone.
This happens every... Talking to the microphone.
She says that he asks that he only go for 1 day to do this Rath Yatra, and he ends up leaving. It's described that it's actually 7 days, and then after 2 or 3 days, she was getting very disturbed, like, where is he? And so
angry.
It was described that she got angry and went and
looking
for him, and it was described that the head of the temple, that all of her maidservants and officers went with her and actually arrested them in handcuffs. And
this goes on every year.
They were put.
This is going on every year during Rosh Hashanah, during
the Lord to, you know,
in fact, when
Lord
Chaitanya was here 500 years ago, he and Srup Damodar, they actually, because they're not within the material energy, they actually saw Lakshmi Devi with her associates going to Gundicha Temple. They actually saw it happening, and they went there to follow to see what was happening. And it's described that the servants of Lakshmi Devi actually, they arrested the servants of Lord Jagannath at the Gundicha Temple and bound them. And this goes on every single year. This pastime is going on eternally. It goes on. This is part of the pastimes of Lord Jagannath that are going on millennium after millennium after millennium. Every year this pastime goes on. That every year Lord Jagannath takes off. Every year the goddess of fortune, after a few days, she says, where is my beloved husband? And she goes looking for him. And she misses him so much that when she sees the inhabitants, when she sees Lord Jagannath's servants facilitating him being away, she gets mad at them. She gets angry at them. This goes on eternally. This pastime is going on eternally. So, is there anything else that anyone? Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
I'm just wondering, do you know anything about the prophecy that the Russians will take over Lord Jagannath?
The prophecy of the Russians taking over the worship of Lord Jagannath? I've never heard that before either. Never heard that. It's in one of the Puranas?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, how old is this current temple of Jagannath Puri, and who built that temple? Current temple in Jagannath?
Well, I mean, as far as my understanding is, I've never heard of it being otherwise. I've never heard of it being rebuilt. I mean, maybe there are descriptions of it, but as from my understanding, I don't know if it's the same exact temple, but it could be, unless anybody knows anything different. And that could definitely be the original temple that was built billions of years ago. Isn't that nice to think about? But so far as a definitive answer of did they rebuild it or was it, I've never heard that or read that anywhere. So now, we're in the hearing about the modern day pastime of Lord Jagannath and the Rath Yatra. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his going and following the Rath Yatra. This is a long chapter. We're going to read as much of it as we can, but it'll describe exactly what happens on that day, what happened on that day 500 years ago. And it's still happening every time that the Rath Yatra is there. Lord Chaitanya is personally there at the Rath Yatra every single year. But this is when he inaugurated it 500 years ago. So this is very pertinent because gives us an idea of what's going on today when we're at Rath Yatra. This is going on. Lord Chaitanya is definitely there, guaranteed 100%. Lord Chaitanya is part of the crowd. We can't see him because our eyes are still covered over, but guaranteed that this is going on.
So this is out of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, Volume 5, and I'll start here. Text 1. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who danced in front of the car of Sri Jagannath, be all glorified. By seeing his dancing, not only was the whole universe held in wonder, but Lord Jagannath himself became very much astonished. All glories to Sri Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to the listeners of Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Please hear the description of the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Rath Yatra Festival. His dancing is very enchanting. Please hear of it with great attention. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates got up in the dark and attentively took their early morning baths. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his personal associates then went to see the ceremony of Pandu Vijay. During this ceremony, Lord Jagannath leaves his throne and gets up onto the car. King Prataparudra, in person as well as his entourage, allowed the Pandu Vijay ceremony to be seen by all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his prominent devotees, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and others, were very happy to observe how Jagannath began the Rath Yatra. The very strongly built daityas, or the carriers of the Jagannath deity, were as powerful as drunken elephants.
Let me just say,
carried Lord Jagannath from the throne to the car.
There's a race of individuals called the daityas, And since time immemorial, these daichas are the ones who built the soft pillows. And personally, they're big, strong men. They lift the Lord, they lift the deity of the Lord from one spot, one point to the next onto these pillows. It's described that these daichas are the descendants of those
tribal
aborigines who were taking care of Lord Nilamadava. It's the same group of people. They're the same descendants. So these servants of Lord Jagannath have been there for billions of years. So these are who the daityas are that are being described here. They're the very same inhabitants of the forest who were worshipping Lord Nilamadava.
While carrying the deity of Lord Jagannath, some of the daityas took hold of the shoulders of the Lord and some caught his lotus feet. The Lord Jagannath deity was bound at the waist by a strong, thick rope made of silk. From two sides, the daityas caught hold of the rope and raised the deity. Strong, puffed-up cotton pads, called tulis, were spread out from the throne to the car, and the heavy deity of Lord Jagannath was carried from one pillow-like pad to the next by the daityas. While the daityas carried the heavy Jagannath deity from one pad to the next, some of the pads broke and the cotton contents floated into the air. When they broke, they made a heavy cracking sound. Lord Jagannath is the maintainer of the whole universe. Who can carry him from one place to another? However, the Lord moves by his personal will just to perform his pastimes. While the Lord was transported from the throne to the car, tumultuous sounds were made on various musical instruments. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting, Manima, Manima, but he could not be heard. This Manima is an address to a respectable person in Orissa. So, in this way, while the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, King Prataparudra personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleansing the road with a broom that had a golden handle. The king sprinkled the road with sandalwood-scented water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. Although the king was the most exalted, respectable person, still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. Everyone was astonished to see the decorations on the car. The car appeared to be newly made of gold, as it was as high as Mount Sumeru. The decorations included bright mirrors and hundreds of chamaras, white wisps made of yak tails. On top of the car were a neat and clean canopy and very beautiful flag. The car was also decorated with silken cloth and various pictures. Many brass bells, gongs, and ankle bells rang. For the pastimes of the Rath Yatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath got aboard one car, and his sister Subhadra and elder brother Balaram got aboard two other cars. For 15 days, the Lord had remained in a secluded place with the Supreme Goddess of Fortune and had performed his pastimes with her. Having taken permission from the Goddess of Fortune, the Lord came out to ride on the Rath car and perform his pastimes for the pleasure of the devotees. The fine white sand spread all over the path resembled the bank of the Yamuna, and the small gardens on both sides looked just like those in Vrindavan. As Lord Jagannath rode in his car and saw the beauty on both sides, his mind was filled with pleasure. The pullers of the cars were known as the Gaudiyas, and they pulled with great pleasure. However, the car sometimes went very fast and sometimes very slow. Sometimes the car would stand still and not move, even though it was pulled very vigorously. The chariot therefore moved by the will of the Lord, not by the strength of an ordinary person. As the car stood still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all his devotees and with his own hand decorated them with flower gardens and sandalwood pulp. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati were both personally given garlands and sandalwood pulp from the very hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This increased their transcendental pleasure. Similarly, when Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu felt the touch of the transcendental hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were both very pleased. The Lord also gave garlands and sandalwood pulp up to the performers of Sankirtan. The chief two performers were Sarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. There were altogether four parties of kirtan performers, comprising 24 chanters. In each party, there were also two mridanga players, making an additional 8 persons. When the four parties were formed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after some consideration, divided the chanters. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, and Varkeshwara Pandit to dance in each of the four respective parties. Sarup Damodar was chosen as the leader of the first party and was given 5 assistants to respond to his chanting. The 5 who responded to the singing of Sarup Damodar were Damodar Pandit, Narayan, Govindadat, Raghava Pandit, and Sri Govinda Nandana. Advaita Acharya Prabhu was ordered to dance in the first group. The Lord then formed another group with Srivas Thakur as the chief man. The five singers who responded to the singing of Srivas Thakur were Gangadas, Haridas, Sriman, Subhandananda, and Sri Ram Pandit. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was appointed as a dancer. Another group was formed consisting of Vasudev, Gopinath, and Murari. All these were responsive singers, and Mukunda was the chief singer. Another two persons, Srikanta and Vallabhasain, joined as a responsive singers. In this group, Haridas Thakur, the senior, was the dancer. The Lord formed another group, appointing Govinda Ghosh as leader. In this group, the younger Haridas, Vishnudas, and Raghava were the responding singers. Two brothers named Madhava Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh also joined this group as responsive singers. Varkeshwara Pandit was the dancer. There were a Sankirtan party from the village known as Kalindagram, and Ramananda and Sacharaj were appointed the dancers in this group. There was another party that came from Shantipur and was formed by Advaita Acharya. Achyutananda was the dancer, and the rest of the men were singers. Another party was formed by the people of Kanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narhari Prabhu and Raga Nandana were dancing. Four parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannath, and on both sides were two other parties. Another was at the rear. There were altogether seven parties of Sankirtan. In each party, two men were beating drums. Thus, 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous, and all the devotees became mad. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds. As the devotees chanted the holy names, tears fell in great ecstasy like rainfall from their eyes. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one could hear the mundane sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wandering through all seven groups, chanted the holy name. Hari, Hari! Raising his arms, he shouted, all glories to Lord Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all seven groups. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service, could understand. Lord Jagannath was very pleased by the Sankirtan, and he brought his car to a standstill just to see the performance. King Prataparudra also was astonished to see the Sankirtan. He became inactive and was converted to ecstatic love of Krishna. When the king informed Kashi Mishra of the glories of the Lord, Kashi Mishra replied, O king, your fortune has no limit. The king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were both aware of the Lord's activities, but no one else could see the tricks of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, cannot understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street, and for this humility, the king received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Although the king was refused an interview, he was indirectly bestowed causeless mercy. Who can understand the internal potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When the two great personalities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy upon the king, they were astonished. Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his personal associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes. But his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all the arrangements. Just as Lord Krishna formally performed the Rasa Lila dance and other pastimes at Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya performed uncommon pastimes moment after moment. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing before the Rath cart could be perceived only by his pure devotees. Others could not understand. Descriptions of the Lord's uncommon dancing can be found in the revealed scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in great jubilation and inundated all the people with waves of ecstatic love. Thus, Lord Jagannath mounted his car, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired all the devotees to dance in front of it. Now please hear about Lord Jagannath going to the Gandicha temple, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the Rath cart. The Lord performed kirtan for some time and through his own endeavor inspired all the devotees to dance. when the Lord himself wanted to dance, all the seven groups combined together. The Lord's devotees, including Srivas, Ramai, Raghu, Govinda, Mukunda, Haridas, Govinda Nandana, Madhava, and Govinda, all combined together. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to jump high while dancing, he placed these nine people in charge of Sarup Damodar. These devotees sang along with the Lord, and they also ran beside him. All the groups of men also sang. Offering obeisances to the Lord with folded hands, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his face toward Jagannath and prayed as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Krishna, who is the worshipful deity for all Brahminical men, who is the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmin, and who is always befitting the whole world. I offer my repeated obeisances to the personality of Godhead, known as Krishna and Govinda.
So we can see how wonderful it is that Srila Prabhupada has actually brought this wonderful ceremony to all over the world. Srila Prabhupada actually inaugurated the Ratha Yatra movement outside of India for the first time, and now it's like in major cities all around the world. So what a glorious festival. Keep going.
All glories unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as the Son of Devaki. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as the Light of the Dynasty of Vrishni. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily luster is like that of a new cloud, and whose body is soft as a lotus flower. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared on this planet to deliver the world from the burden of demons, and who can offer liberation to everyone. Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Janavnivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Devaki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful, smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. Lord Chaitanya said, I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishya or Sudra, nor am I a Brahmachari, householder, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar, and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. Having recited all these verses from scripture, the Lord again offered his obeisances, and all the devotees with folded hands also offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, roaring like thunder and moving in a circle like a wheel, he appeared like a circling firebrand. Wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stepped while dancing, the whole earth with its hills and seas appeared to tilt. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he displayed various blissful transcendental changes in his bodies. Sometimes he appeared as though stunned. Sometimes the hair of his body stood on end. Sometimes he perspired, cried, trembled, and changed colors. And sometimes he exhibited symptoms of helpless pride, exuberance, and humility. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell with a crash while dancing, he would roll on the ground. And at such times it appeared that a golden mountain was rolling on the ground. Nityananda Prabhu would stretch out his hands and try to catch the Lord when he was running here and there. Advaita Acharya would walk behind the Lord and loudly chant, Haribo, Haribo, again and again. Just to check the crowds from coming too near the Lord, they formed three circles. The first circle was guided by Nityananda Prabhu as Balaram himself, the possessor of great strength. All the devotees headed by Kashi Raj and Govinda linked hands and formed a second circle around the Lord. And Maharaj Pratyaparudra and his personal assistants formed a third circle around the two inner circles, just to check the crowd from coming too near. With his hands on the shoulders of Harichan, King Pratyaparudra could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing, and the king felt great ecstasy. While the king beheld the dancing, Srivas Thakur standing in front of him became ecstatic as he saw the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Seeing Srivas Thakur standing before the king, Harichan touched Srivas with his hand and requested him to step aside. Absorbed in watching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance, Srivas Thakur cannot understand why he was being touched and pushed. After he was pushed again and again, he became angry. Srivas Thakur slapped Harichan to stop him from pushing him. In turn, this made Harichan angry. As the angered Harichan was about to speak to Srivas Thakur, Pratyaparudra Maharaj personally stopped him. King Pratyaparudra said, "You are very fortunate, for you have been graced by the touch of Srivas Thakur. I am not so fortunate. You should feel obliged to him." Everyone was astonished by the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even Lord Jagannath became extremely happy to see him. The car came to a complete standstill and remained immovable while Lord Jagannath, with unblinking eyes, watched the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The goddess of fortune, Subhadra, and Lord Balaram both felt great happiness and ecstasy with their hearts. Indeed, they were smiling at dancing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, 8 wonderful transformations, indicative of divine ecstasy, were seen in his body. All these symptoms were visibly simultaneously. His skin erupted with goose pimples, and the hairs of the body stood on end. His body resembled the simuli, silk cotton tree, all covered with thorns. Indeed, the people became afraid just to see the teeth chatter, and they even thought that his teeth would fall out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body flowed with perspiration, and at the same time oozed blood. He made sounds, jugga-gugga, jugga-gugga, in a voice choked with ecstasy. Tears came forcibly from the eyes of the Lord, as if from a syringe. All the people surrounding him became wet. Everyone saw the completion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of a Mallika flower.
There it is. Does anybody have any questions or comments about what we've read, heard? All right, you can say the prayers to Sriya Vijaya Enriyateka Jive Fila Visaya Sakare Arbaje Jivayati Oba Moisa Dormati Ayatega Vite Samsara Krishna Vola Dora Moi Aradara Jiva Joy Saprasana De Lopa Samritaka Arakrishna Guru. Lord Jagannath ki jai.